to welcome everybody to the first week in our new series. It's going to be based on the book of Hebrews, and it's called The Journey of Faith. The thought behind this is really, you know, here we are coming off a series that we called Fresh Faith, coming off the first of the year, and what an opportunity or how natural it is to really kind of talk about what a journey looks like, this journey of faith, coming off of maybe a renewal of our faith and really experiencing what it's like to take that journey. And really our journey through life is a journey of faith. And so I'm excited to be able to get into the book of Hebrews and share with you guys a little bit of that. But this is going to be a series that's going to take us all the way to Easter. And so I'm really excited to go deeper into the book of Hebrews with that as well. But before we get into the message, let's just take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to stir within us this morning. Father God, we just come before you. We just want to come before you and humbly give thanks. Give thanks for this opportunity to worship and praise you together as a church family. Father God, we just ask that you speak to us. Your Holy Spirit stirs within us, and that your message is received and implemented. Father God, we just ask that there is something that is revealed to us today that can point us closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So, Aaron and I'm sure many of you are like this, but Aaron and I have a series of television shows that we just kind of enjoy watching together. You know, unfortunately, I'm not allowed to have any of them where I can watch on my own, so, you know, I just don't have that free time. But anything that we watch, we tend to watch together. And really, we just kind of take the opportunity as, you know, a chance to kind of unwind, you know, maybe from our week or our day, if we have that time together in the day. But we just kind of take this time to unwind and really kind of decompress, let everything else go, and just be present with one another. You know, and one of these shows that we like to watch, some of you may have heard of it, some of you may have not, but it's called God, Friend, and Me. And I love the idea behind it. You know, what it is it's a show about a guy. His name is Miles. But it's a show where it's talking about his life. He grew up in the church. He's actually a PK, a pastor's kid. His father, I believe it's a Lutheran church that he leads. But it's a story about his life. And a part of his story is how he walked away from faith, how he walked away from the church because of a tragedy that happened in his life. And he just didn't think that God could be involved with those kinds of things, with a tragedy that actually took his mother away. And so this gentleman, Miles, he starts a podcast. He's a millennial, and so he calls his podcast the Millennial Prophet. This podcast is where he talks about how he's an atheist, and he talks about how, you know, God can't be real, and he shares all these kind of thoughts and personal feelings on that sort of thing. And his world really kind of gets turned upside down when he gets a friend request from God on Facebook. And it was kind of cool because he ignores it, of course. Like, he's like, you know, this somebody's really kind of messing with me. They must have heard my podcast, whatever the case. And this can't be real. Well, the friend suggestion just kind of keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming, this friend request. And finally, he accepts it. And what happens is this account, this God account, keeps sending him friend suggestions then. You know, random people that he doesn't know, but he starts encountering people that genuinely need help. He starts encountering people that need some sort of intervention in their lives. And so Miles, you know, while he's not necessarily accepting the fact that this could be coming from God, he's accepting that he's got some sort of purpose to help these people. And so there's all kinds of things that happen, and now I believe it's on the third season. But Miles is, he's still very reluctant to accept the fact that God is behind all of this, but he's kind of seen a purpose in his life. And so there's a short video I want to show you that kind of highlights some of those moments in the first season, but then also shows some real tweets from people that are fans of the show. So check this out.
Here's the thing. There are moments in life where your beliefs are challenged, but it's the way you respond that matters.
I don't understand. Did you teach him how to play?
No, I just showed him a few notes.
It's a song I've sung to him every night since he was born.
He said he doesn't hear you.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful.
I think this is his way of telling you that he does.
I wish that I could go and take back everything that happened that night. Right before the car spun out, Emma and I got into an argument and said a bunch of things that I can never, ever take back.
Jack didn't pull you from the car that night. Emma did. You thought your final moments with your sister were filled with anger, but they were filled with love. Now you can go on living like you're unworthy of it, or you can start living like your sister's choice matters. If Tara thinks that your faith is more important to you than she is, how much longer do you think before she gives up both? Tara!
Whatever you're going to say, it won't make any difference.
Maybe not, but I have to try. Please, from the day you were born, I swore to protect you, that I won't let anything stand in the way of your happiness. I'm so sorry. I love you.
These days, it's easier than ever to fall on hard times.
We can pick it up at the impound.
Unfortunately, we've already given the job to someone else.
I can't get a home without a job. Without a home, no one will hire me.
Dad. You can't give up. You'll get a job and we'll find our castle.
We just need somebody with the right experience and background.
Would military experience qualify?
Absolutely. You serve?
2 tours in Iraq.
No kid.
And I just so happen to be looking for a job.
Come by your office tomorrow. Maybe we can work something out.
Home can be so much more than just a roof over your head. Home can be that feeling you have when everything in life finally comes together. When I was 8 years old, my mother died in a car accident. And until recently, I assumed that was the defining moment in my life.
Can I help you?
I didn't realize the real moment would come 17 years later.
I'm sorry, Miles. I'm truly sorry.
It's time for you to let go, son.
Dad, you forgave him because your faith told you to.
No, I forgave him because that's what your mother would have done.
You need to let go of the life you lost and start living the life you have. It's time both of us do.
So that video was put together after the first season and getting ready to promote the second season. Now I believe it's on the third season, but the show really kind of serious moments that happen within people's lives. You know, the very first scene was of a nonverbal autistic child where mom was just distraught because she never felt like she was, her kid was able to speak to her, like she was, or was able to hear her, like, and here the kid starts playing a song that she'd sung to him since birth. You know, just little things like that are really moments where God is speaking to us. And God is speaking to others through us. And some of the other things that it looks at, you know, loss, the difficulties faced with loss in life. There was one episode where there was a guy that felt like he had lost all hope. And he popped up on a friend's suggestion to Miles, and Miles followed him and followed him down in the subway and caught him right as he was about to walk in front of the train. And other moments where, you know, there's multi-ethnic relationships and how, you know, some traditions and things could be a division within their family. You know, we saw a clip of that with the father and daughter. You know, the thing is that I wonder how many times God speaks to us and we may not pay attention. Or how many times that God tries to grab our attention and we just have blinders on. You know, in Exodus, a very well-known example of God speaking to someone is through the burning bush to Moses. You know, we see all throughout the Old Testament where, you know, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, or he's speaking to other groups of people through individuals or through angels or through various vessels. And this show kind of made me start thinking, like, you know, in the 21st century, to a millennial or to a younger generation, you know, would a friend request on Facebook be the equivalent to a burning bush? Like, it's crazy to think about. But God tries to grab our attention all the time. He tries to grab our focus. Are we paying attention? Do we gloss over and put our blinders on to the supremacy of Jesus because we get so caught up on our own things that we aren't paying attention to when he is revealing himself to us? As we dig into the Hebrews today, you know, I want us to reflect on that. I want us to kind of be thinking through that. How is God trying to grab our attention today? How is God trying to grab our attention in this day and age when things look so much different than they did when he first spoke to Moses? You know, before we get into Hebrews, though, I want to kind of set up a little context for us to understand. I want us to kind of know where we are in what we're reading. You know, and so the first thing is, you know, we always try to figure out who wrote the book, who wrote the scripture. You know, and so Hebrews, the author, it is not known. It's still heavily debated. And the reason why is because here we have a letter. Hebrews is a letter, very similar to, you know, Ephesians, very similar to Romans, very, very similar to Corinthians. But the major difference is those letters were written to churches that Paul had planted, or groups of people or churches that were in areas. So like Corinthians was a church that was planted. And so the author, in those cases, Paul was writing to the churches that he planted. In this case, Hebrews is to a people. It's written to a people, not a church. It's not written to a specific city. Hebrews is in reference to traditionally Jewish people that had been God-fearing people in the Old Testament that had kind of moved along and saw Christ come and converted over to Christ followers. And so this letter is written to people that are very well versed in the Jewish tradition, the sacrifices and all the things that come before Jesus. And so that also leads us to know that the author is also very well educated and also very well versed in those Jewish customs. And so it's important for us to understand these things, but also know that the writing style and everything is so different than Paul's letters that Paul is not considered to be an author. There's a whole slew of potential candidates that I encourage you to research if you'd like, but really the author is not known and is still debated. But it was also written in a time, you know, when we start looking at the events that are written in Hebrews, it was written in a time before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And so we know that it happened before that event, but we also know that because of some of the events that it talks about and some of the other words being used, it was probably written somewhere between 30 and 40 years after Jesus, or after the early church began. And so, you know, just kind of keeping these timelines in mind, keeping the idea, knowing that the author, you know, was very much in tune with what Jewish customs and things were there. He knows the audience that he's writing to. And so we're going to pick up in Hebrews 1. We're just going to read through the first four verses here. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." As I mentioned, the Old Testament provides us many examples of God speaking to people through various ways, through angels, prophets, through signs, through burning bushes, through nations. His written word was called the Torah. And through that, it was given to Moses. The author of Hebrews is writing here to a group of people that have experienced all those customs, all those rituals, all those things that happened before Jesus, but when Jesus came, had said, "Yes, Christ, I follow you." And so he's writing to them and he's acknowledging this fact that God used various methods previously to speak to people, various vessels or various avenues. So he's kind of tipping the cap. He's acknowledging the fact that he understands where these people might have come from in their life and what they've experienced and what they thought they knew versus what they might know now. And he delivers a powerful statement to them. It's a powerful statement to us today too. He says, "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." This wasn't some sort of add-on there. This wasn't some sort of, you know, kind of additional vessel or revelation that was equal to those words that were spoken through prophets or spoken through various signs and that sort of thing. But this was an exclamation point moment. This was one of these moments that is far superior to the words that were given to Moses or Abraham or Isaiah or David or any of those other vessels, but this is an exclamation point that I want us to pay attention to. He is proclaiming that Jesus is the final word. He's proclaiming to this group of people to us today that Jesus is the final word because Jesus is God in flesh. At no other point in history had something like this ever occurred, where God became flesh. He goes on to say that Jesus is the radiance. He's the radiance of God's glory, an exact representation of his being. It's an exclamation point. It's not something for us to gloss over. It's not something for us to just kind of blend in with all the scripture around it. It is one of those bold statements. This emphasis is that Jesus is the full representation of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. It's important for us to take note. It's very important for us to understand that Jesus wasn't another mouthpiece. He wasn't another just moment where God was trying to use somebody, but no, he was God in flesh. He is fully God. And this is showing and displaying the supremacy of Jesus over all these things, over all the other men and women that came before him that were used to try to deliver God's message. He was supreme over all the angels, the prophets, any of the signs or bushes or nations that God tried to use throughout history. He is the final word. And so why is this important? Why is this important for us today? This is important because when we face life, when we journey through our faith, when we journey through life with others, it is important for us to look at all of our decisions, look at all of our situations, look at all of our moments. And even if we go back and see what God's word or the Bible says about a particular thing, we need to look at all these questions with Jesus at the very forefront of it all. We need to look at all of the things that we encounter with Jesus at the middle of it. Jesus is the final word on all things. The rest of Hebrews 1 continues on and it talks about Jesus and it goes deeper into his supremacy over angels in particular. And the writer that wrote the scripture, again, is kind of getting back in touch with his audience in a way that he is, again, tipping his cap to what they understood angels to be, what they knew throughout the Old Testament how God revealed himself. These angels were, greatly esteemed. They were, they were messengers of God. They were servants of the Lord. And so they were held in very high regard. And so the writer here is going on to say that Jesus is even greater than that. Jesus is even greater than these highly esteemed angels. And as glorious as angels were, as majestic and as magnificent as how they presented themselves, Jesus, nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing compares to Jesus in the position that he is given as the Son of God, as the Son of the Heavenly Father. The name that he is given. And this is good news. This is good news for us. The great news of this is that through Jesus, we have access to a loving Father that we never would have before. We have access to a loving Father that deeply cares about each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of his children, even in moments where they might reject him. Deeply cares about an individual that openly through a podcast says that he's an atheist. deeply cares about each and every one of us. Jesus is that exclamation point. Jesus is that final exclamation point that should be shouted loudly, should be something of great enthusiasm, and he is the full revelation of God to us. The question that we have is, are we willing to open our eyes and see how Jesus is speaking to us? Are we willing to open our eyes and look at our lives, truly reflect, and decide whether or not Jesus is the final word in our own lives? Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. God, you humble us so much with your word, with your wisdom and your truth. Father God, we are so thankful for your son, Jesus. Without Jesus, God, we would not have that bridge that we need to reach you. We would not have that connection to be able to spend an eternity with you. Father God, we just want to take a moment today and reflect on how you might be speaking to us in our lives, how you might be speaking to us through other individuals, how you might be speaking to us through, you know, whatever avenue it might be. God, and it may not be nearly as obvious as the burning bush was to Moses, but God, they're obvious if we open our eyes. You at work through everything. If we open our eyes to your son, Jesus, being the final word of it all. God, your son, you became flesh to relate to your audience, to relate to humanity, your creation. You became flesh so you could connect to us, so you could understand more about humanity, more about your creation, so we could connect to you. God, and then your son, he received this horrendous punishment so we didn't have to. He received what we rightfully deserve through our sins. He received and paid off our debt. For all that, Father, we are thankful. We are grateful. We are eternally grateful for that kind of sacrifice. And God, today we want to open our eyes to how you are speaking to us through those in our lives. It might even be something as simple as a suggested friend. But Father God, we are grateful. We are thankful. And God, we just lay it all down in front of you and submit to your will. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.